Welcome, sports fans. This week's edition of the Windmill Sports Show coming to you live from the Club County on ESPN 94.5. I'm your host, Kenny B. Here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline. Josh, what's going on?
Too much. We're just checking out the Virginia Tech Duke game. I know we're both on the same side of and not looking great so far. Duke scored once and is about to do it again. So
they're just, you know, Virginia Tech was dominating this game. Then all of a sudden they had a turnover. Duke one play touchdown and then.
Right, they held Duke to like 2 yards in the whole first quarter, but just self-destructed.
And, yeah, so far. So yeah. It's a lot of football left to be played yet. Hopefully we can get a big Virginia Tech push at home. And I laid 2.5. What'd you lay?
Same.
2.5, minus 2.5. All right. John the Hawk Stevens, 4 games tonight. Do you have any action on any of these games?
You know, I don't. I've been actually working hard today. Mm-hmm.
So you held on to your pizza money?
For whatever it is.
Yeah, pizza money. You know, it's 4 games tonight. You know, we're talking about Virginia Tech, Duke. Josh actually released that game on Sportsline.
Yeah, well, exactly. They asked me to do one of the, you know, Friday night feature games and went through the info. I had to do it really early in the week because we want to, you know, give people a few days to, you know, check out our information and whatnot. So I had to do this on, like, Monday, where everything I saw, you know, it's a pretty even game. But Votek's dominated this matchup of late, and I just thought, you know, it was sort of a get-well game. I respect Duke because Cutcliffe does a great job and they game plan well. But I thought, you know, Virginia Tech is sort of due for a breakout game at home. But for the time being, looked like it might have been incorrect. We'll see.
Still a lot of game left. You know, like we said, this game was 52 was the total. Duke opened up.
There's a touchdown.
No, I think he dropped it. Incomplete. Thank goodness.
But Duke's
it makes no difference. I mean, Duke's everything's working right now.
Right.
For Duke.
And Duke's quarterback, who's the new guy, Quentin Harris, filling in for Daniel Jones. He's like a fifth-year senior, just sat behind Jones for the last 4 years. He's not bad at all. I've seen him play a couple times, and he's good. So Duke's going to be pretty good this year.
Did he catch it?
No, he
Super Bowl 13. Yeah, Super Bowl 13. Well, I thought maybe he got his hands under it, but it looks like it's going to be 2nd and 10 right now. Here we are. Five. What about these
false
games?
Start.
What about these games tonight? I mean, Penn State, Maryland. Arizona State versus Cal, Air Force versus San Jose State. I mean, just crazy, crazy games. 2 games kick off here right now. I haven't quite kicked off yet, but it looks like Penn State and Maryland, they're going to play. Penn State, 6.5-point favorite total over Maryland, a total at 61.5. Josh, did you weigh in on that one?
I did. I like Penn State. It's funny, speaking of Virginia Tech, their quarterback, Josh Jackson's a graduate transfer. He's on Maryland now. Part of the reason that they had a pretty good start because people didn't realize that they have some pretty good playmakers, and Jackson had, you know, taken over at quarterback. Look at these plays, though, Ken, like we're watching now. Realize all our listeners can't see the TV, but that's where Virginia Tech you're seeing wouldn't do that in the past. It's like they're waiting for the guy to come to him. Instead of coming up and making the tackle, they just sit there and let the quarterback run for 12 yards before even trying to make a play. That's pretty disappointing. But Penn State, you know, they had high turnover, right? I mean, they're sort of rebuilding as well, but they've got a pretty good core. And I just feel like Maryland – I say they're overvalued because they're basically a touchdown home underdog. But what they showed the first couple of weeks, they beat up an FCS team in Syracuse, which has no defense. And I was impressed. So Temple, a disciplined team, already beat him. And I think Penn State coming off a bye is probably going to put them in their place.
John?
The bye is a key factor there. Because, you know, a short week like that, going into a hostile environment in a night game, that can spell trouble. But I think that extra week is going to be really good.
Yeah, and, you know, Penn State, they barely snuck by Pitt, but that happens. That's a rivalry game. And they were pretty sloppy, and they had a bunch of turnovers, and they still managed to come out on top. And I think this is one where they're likely to just clean up their act and, you know, put it on Maryland.
Pass interference in the end zone. Hey, Jeff. Hey, Sherry. What's going on? Next game, real quick, San Jose State Air Force, Josh.
Well, Ken, you mentioned before we got on here that apparently, you know, there's lots of sentiment for Air Force in this one. You know, I hadn't heard that, but it makes sense, if only because San Jose State's coming off of, honestly, one of their biggest wins in program history. They go to Arkansas
as a 25 years.
Exactly. A 3-touchdown underdog and went outright. Who sees that coming? Even if it's an SEC team that's having a down year like the Hogs are, you still don't expect lowly San Jose State to go in there and win the game. So the thinking, of course, is Air Force coming back. You know, the Spartans are just bound to kind of, you know, be in hangover more. The Air Force runs them over. I mean, it's a decent handicapping angle. Having said that, that's one of these games I haven't done anything on.
I don't really have a problem betting Air Force in this spot. Just how unique Air Force is, how disciplined Air Force obviously is, and just the level of not only talent but experience that that team has right now. I mean, they, Colorado Buffaloes look like a very good team. You know, not a contender or anything, but they went in there they, and, you know, they beat Colorado at Folsom Field. For them to beat San Jose State coming off their biggest win in decades, I think they run all over them, and this game is not even close. I think they get 50, and so that means you're going to have San Jose State score a lot of points, and I don't see that.
Yeah, it's one of those things, too, where San Jose State, just by the way they're constructed, isn't you're really set up to stop Air Force very much, right? You got to have depth and whatnot at your defensive line and in the middle of your defense and be physical enough to be able to slow them down. This is the type of thing where I see Air Force probably capable of busting some big plays pretty early as well. So, again, I haven't played it, but it does seem like Air Force is a fairly logical side there, and Duke's on the board again, so 14-3. And, Ken, in the very final game, 7:30 kickoff, California against Arizona State, -4.5 for Cal. I think it's up to 5, actually, but open 4.5, total of 42.
Back up. I played Air Force, just for the record.
Yeah, well, I mentioned that.
Okay, I did play Air
recommending
Force. A couple of wise guys lined up on it, and I liked it. So I cool. Wise guys, huh, John? I can't believe John didn't say that. So with that being said, I did play Air Force. Go ahead.
Cool. So with Arizona Cal, I think, you know, I've watched them. I keep wanting to believe Cal's kind of a fluke or whatnot, but after watching that Ole Miss game last week, you just can't take it away from them. I mean, they legitimately have a great defense, and they're somehow getting by with a pretty young quarterback on offense. But it's pretty crazy what Justin Wilcox has done with Cal, because a few years ago they were kind of left in the lurch, fired Sonny Dykes late in the process after he just kept – it was one of those things where he was interviewing for other jobs. Cal didn't like it. They said, if you keep doing that, we're going to fire you, and he did anyway, so they let him go. I thought Cal was going to be in shambles for years, like just set back. But Wilcox has come in there, and it's crazy how competitive they've been. But last week, you beat Ole Miss on the road. Arizona State's also been very good under Herm Edwards. Now, I'll just put it this way. I would lean toward the underdog, but I've actually taken the over because, it's, you know, we talk about inflated numbers and stuff. This is, you know, deflated because Cal and Arizona State are both only allowing like 17, 20 points a game. You get the super low number, but the offenses are starting to pick up. I mean, Arizona State, you know, got 31 last week. I just feel like, come on, right, to Colorado. And Cal also probably should have had more than 28 at Ole Miss. I just feel like, you know, Pac-12 game at night, come on. It shouldn't be hard for them to clip. I got the opening number, which was 40.5. It's now up to 42.
Yeah. I like Arizona State a little bit right here. I just think it's a good spot from coming off of that loss. You know, this is a Cal team that they're playing better than I thought they would, especially coming off of was the season over when Davis took it to the limit.
Was it Davis that took Arizona State to the end? Like Sacramento State. Oh, yeah. But both of them have been pushed by FCS. I thought you were talking Arizona State. I'm like, yeah, but they both have been. But yeah, they've come far. And like I said, John, one of the things that disappoints me, because I'm a Chris Peterson and Washington fan, Cal's already ruined their season. I just can't believe it. It was weird. That was what that game that was delayed by lightning for hours on end. It didn't end until about 2 a.m. our time. I remember, you know, sleeping on the couch, getting up, wait, this is still live? What happened? Oh, big thunder, rain delay, whatever. Watching the second half, like, you've got to be kidding me. Washington, I mean, Cal just, you know, ends up scoring a touchdown. They drove the length of the field with, like, a minute and a half left, no timeouts, beat them 20-19. And Washington's already wrecked, basically, in terms of the playoff or whatnot. And like I said, I don't want to believe in Cal, but they keep proving me wrong.
You know, I was talking about me like an Air Force, you know, going back, you know, and Andy Joro is my buddy who went to San Diego State. He actually said, hey, let's, you know, I'm going to fade it this week, and I'm going to take Air Force. San Jose State goes right down the field and scores in 4 minutes. So 7-0, 7-0 San Jose State. So not only am I laying 19.5, Josh.
You're behind the curve already.
I'm behind the curve already. So 28-7.
Only laying 3 with Votek, and we're 11 points behind them.
Yeah, man, what a day. This is shaping up to – that's right. What a day this is shaping up to be. So, but maybe San Jose State's better. So, Andy, you gave me bad information. No, actually, it was a couple other guys and Andy. Andy's he gives me some good information. Everyone's like, yeah, no doubt about that. So, what else is going on? You know, what time is it? Let's talk about Nevada football. Hawaii comes to town tomorrow, and I'm getting my Hawaii. You know, I was a little surprised about this number. I was really looking to make a wager on Hawaii, and if I would have made it earlier, I probably would have, but I was waiting for it to go to 3 because I really wanted to take a field goal with Hawaii. You know, but when the line first came out, there was no weather involved. Now it looks like there's going to be weather involved in the game.
Oh, yeah. And
No, I agree.
I thought they've shown to this point that they are the superior team, but I guess we'll find out.
You know, Rolo coming back to town. You know, and just, you know, I'm just looking at everything, you know, obviously handicapping the games, but, you know, Hawaii's, both teams are 3-1. Hawaii lost to at Washington, they got beat down at Washington, 52-20. They beat Oregon State and they beat Arizona. So they've played three Pac-12 teams already. And they also beat Central Arkansas 35-16. So, but, you know, both teams are 3-1. And I just think that I want to say Hawaii's looked better in their three wins than I think Nevada has.
That's probably fair, Ken. But you know what? You mentioned – actually, I thought the line was about what I expected, Nevada a slight favorite. Well, because they're getting, you know, a little respect for being at home. And I think that's fair when you look at – I mean, look at Nevada's performance against Purdue is probably the best performance either team has had. But you could argue, well, Hawaii played really well against Arizona. They did. But we all know Hawaii has in the years past, though, has had real dramatic home-road splits. And this is their second time on the road. Obviously – you know, Washington, who's limited on offense, stomped them. And it's just one of those things. Hawaii is always going to, you know, have those big splits because of, we know, the time change and the long travel, and they're just always not the same. Having said that, personnel-wise, I think they give, you know, Nevada some pretty bad matchups on with the way they do that spread offense with the timing routes. It looked like Arizona was terribly unprepared. But if you watch that game, I couldn't believe the quarterback looked confused sometimes because pretty much on every play there was four wide-open guys. They do those timing – yeah, exactly, John. But you know, those quick, you know, little 3-yard outs, or one guy runs the end, and the quarterback's like four guys. Oh, which one do I throw it to? You know, Nevada, I think, you know, struggles in the secondary a little bit. So I wonder if I just think it is. It's a good, you know, quality matchup. If Nevada plays their best, I think they'll have the edge.
I think you're right. If they do play their best, which we haven't seen quite yet. Now, Carson Strong is getting the start quarterback, which was a little surprising. I thought that the way Christian Solano played at Utah, but Carson Strong thinks he's healthy again.
Yeah. What do you think, John? I was curious only because of the exact thing you said. I thought the Solano performance was nice, but it seemed to me the Nevada, the general sentiment was like, wow, maybe he earned the chance to get out there and start.
Yeah.
But you don't want to play musical chairs at quarterback.
No, you don't. And I think we see all three quarterbacks, maybe not tomorrow, but throughout the rest of the slate, I think that all three quarterbacks may even start the game.
Yeah.
But I think right now, the Carson Strong has earned the right to start this game. And, you know, the good thing is, like Chris Murray pointed out, having the veteran as the backup, they'll start to go ahead.
Right.
You know, is it Devontae Lee? Is this his first game back?
I believe so.
And did you hear the news today?
Yes.
Jackson Kincaid has decided that he's not going to play the rest of the year. Therefore, he can use his
redshirt.
They're
doing the redshirt thing with him?
No. He's doing it, and he's going to transfer out.
And I don't think those two redshirts are mutually exclusive. In fact, Devontae Lee is back. And Jackson Kincaid had limited carries as it was. So when Devontae's in there, I think the writing is on the wall for Jackson Kincaid, who's a very good football player. He had a nice game last week.
Derek King, yeah. You know, it's John. Yeah, of course. Yeah, especially after what's his name, Lincoln Riley said he was like the best quarterback he had seen, and of course, Derek King. Oh, about here's what's funny, John. I thought the rule was meant to improve like player flexibility and give him a chance. I thought, oh, it's cool. You could, you know, if you went to school on scholarship, they said, oh, we're going to redshirt you your freshman year. Okay,
yeah.
You just sat out for a whole year, watched everyone play, and now they said, you know, you get a chance of real live game action and not ruin your whole season. I like that. Or if a guy getting hurt, so it's like, hey, you could get in there, get a taste of the action. We're not going to penalize you for a whole year. But what's funny is when as soon as they made this 4-game rule in football and how it's evolved the last couple of years, I heard someone else say this makes a lot of sense, but it's almost prompted like a free agency period in college sports. So now if you're not happy with you know how the season's going, or you think the you know pasture's green or somewhere else, you just bow out after 4 games, say, hey, I'm out of here.
Well, he had started Josh earlier in his career. You know, he was going to be a big part of Nevada's future. You know, and things just kind of, you know, went a different way. You know, getting Tawa, you know, and then Devontae, he's coming back, and you know, Kelton, you know, and things like that. So, you know, a lot of variables here. You know, I wish him the best. I never want to see these kids do that because, you know, I thought he was one of our best backs. I really did. You know, but
yeah, I thought he was going to have a big year.
Oh, so do I. I mean, there was times where he looked like the faster, the more decisive.
I agree. I thought he was the more explosive guy, but
Okay. With that being said, we're going to have to head off to our first commercial break a little bit early, have a little bit of technical difficulties we're going to try and get sorted out. William Hill Sports Show on ESPN 94.5 FM. Wow, we're back. All right.
Are you listening to the show, Ken?
I was looking at the football score.
Can everybody hear me now?
Yeah, hopefully.
All right.
All right, good deal. Hopefully everybody can hear John the Hawk Steve. We had to go off a little bit earlier. So, John, they missed everything you said.
I said a lot of good stuff.
So, real quick, recap your opinion or what's going on with the Nevada game tomorrow, Nevada-Hawaii.
Nevada is going to win 37-35.
Wow, so we should bet the over.
Should bet it over.
I like that. Man, Duke has just got all the plays right now, Josh. We're in a lot of trouble.
They do.
In this game.
I said they game plan well, and they've got Virginia Tech completely puzzled right now. So, yeah, it's not looking good. All we wanted was one sustained drive, Ken, to get in the barn, and we've been unable to do it. So my focus to Penn State, which is up 7-0, and hope to split these games.
I hear you. So 2nd and 7. Sometimes they say, all right, Josh, what else you got? What other college football games you got? Did you do any articles for this week? Obviously, did do articles.
A bunch,
what articles did you do this week?
So Ken, I actually explored a whole bunch of games.
Which is your job?
Exactly. One I'll tell you that I like a little bit. Big high profile game tomorrow night. Ohio State, Nebraska. Nebraska getting 17.5 at home, and I like the Huskers a little bit.
A lot of people think the Huskers might be live.
I do. I think Scott Frost. This is a sort of coming of age game. Nobody's played anybody. Nebraska almost lost to Illinois last week. I think in a look ahead spot for sure.
Who'd they lose to?
Ohio State has been.
Just kidding.
Blowing everybody out as usual, but just those weak opponents, Miami of Ohio and whoever else. And so this is their first test as well. In the past couple of years, you would expect them to just roll over Nebraska, but there's been a lot of improvement there. And I think the Huskers acquit themselves well enough to cover.
Thanks, Muzzy, for the update. I think that they do keep this pretty close. Ohio State obviously has the ability to run it up on them and beat them down, but you're right. This is a big spot for Scott Frost. Game day's there tomorrow. It's going to be hype. It's going to be crazy in Lincoln. So I think that they put their best effort forward, which I don't think they've done at all this year. That first game, who was it again? South Florida? I forget who it was. But they needed return touchdowns to win that game, and it's just it wasn't looking good. I think they have their best foot forward right here, and I like Nebraska.
Couple line moves real quick. Looking at the Kansas TCU, opened up at 16.5, a 2-point swing towards Kansas. TCU was -16 down to -14.5, Josh.
Yeah.
2-point move in that game.
People starting to give the Jayhawks a little respect with Les Miles at the helm.
Man.
And it's looking like, for whatever reason, the Frogs are kind of offensively challenged again. Last week it was crazy. They were laying 9.5 against SMU and they got beat outright. So it looks like TCU isn't the force that they used to be, and now people are jumping on, the underdog.
You're surprised Gary Patterson is still there?
Not really, because of one thing that strikes me is kind of funny, because they used to have a bit of a turnstile there at TCU. Remember DeFrancioni?
Yeah.
For years they had no stability, and now Patterson's been there going on 20 years. And he strikes me as the type of guy where he's comfortable, not really being in the spotlight most of the time. I think he's a lifer, unless they fire him.
Yeah.
I think so long as it's his choice, I think he's staying.
I think you're right.
Fresno State, New Mexico. Fresno State on the road laying 17.5. That's what Nick used on the card. 2-point moves on that one too, Josh, all the way up to 19.5.
Yeah, interesting. I've got no real play on that one either way, but it always gets your attention when a line jumps two or three points.
It jumps like that, especially a conference game. But, this is a conference that we know and we know well. I would have only Fresno State in this game.
One more I want to throw out there real quick, another move. Houston playing North Texas. Houston.
How about Houston?
With the quarterback, doing the same thing.
With your next Heisman winner?
At Oklahoma?
Yes.
That's where he's going. Yes. That's what they're talking about.
Florida State or Oklahoma.
Did you hear that, Josh?
Mm-hmm. Well, what's funny, Ken, I think he wanted to pretty much ward off the backlash. Because I read a Houston Chronicle report. It came out, and I was researching the game. So this was big news, whatever it was, Tuesday morning. And they said Houston Chronicle is reporting that Derek King is not only – you're doing the four-game redshirt thing, but that he's going to bail and everyone's upset. And his dad's on Twitter saying,
he's not going
to bail. Look out for yourself. And then it was reported later in the day that, he's doing the redshirt thing, but he's staying where he is. That's just so
– he's not staying at Houston.
This can pass through the news cycle. Right. But I'm just saying he said that so people would stay off him and they wouldn't have to take the heat on social media. And when the season's over and no one's paying attention to Derek King anymore, he's Jalen Hurts. He's your new Oklahoma Heisman candidate.
Keep doing it every year.
Yeah, he will be. I guarantee, like you said, though, they announced, he's staying here just to, weather the storm, and he's leaving anyway.
Unless.
So, go ahead.
Unless after the Cowboys lose in round one of the playoffs and Lincoln Riley becomes their head coach.
So, What do you guys think about this rule? I mean, this four-game rule. I mean,
I don't think this is what they had in mind.
I don't think it is either. I mean, all of a sudden you get these high-profile players, yeah. You know, like the quarterback King for it's King, right?
Yeah.
For Houston, Jared who thought that they were going to have a good year, load, and they lose a couple of games. He goes, you know what? I'll just transfer.
But you know what? At least there's something kind of cool for the kids one time because the coaches can leave willy-nilly whenever they want.
Yeah, that's true. I guess.
So I guess that part of it's kind of cool.
I think you hit the nail exactly on the head. They didn't expect this to be what happened.
No.
They thought that you would get in there and get to play a couple plays, a few games,
yes.
Just to figure out Division I football.
Four full games, see how the season's going. See, say,
what's
right.
funny is that they thought it would promote longevity with the program. Like I said, so you could sit there, so you didn't get impatient when you were a retro. Yo, you could get a taste of the action and not lose a year of eligibility.
Yeah.
Instead, like
I
said,
like it for that
juniors
reason.
And seniors, are you like I said, are you turning it into a free agency period? Where it's like, they play almost half a year and it's not going so great, and I'll just bail.
And then you get to use it as a redshirt season,
right?
That's what's crazy.
And what's funny is Houston's not that bad either. They could easily be 3-1. Of course, they're going to lose to Oklahoma, but they probably could have. They could have beaten Washington State, fell apart. I think 14 at the half, and they fell apart against Tulane, which, as we all know, was one
that
pretty
was
sick
else.
Bad beat. That
something
we all
else.
So Houston's still not that bad. But that, Ken, you mentioned the thing because what happened was North Texas opened like -1 in that game. Derek King news now that 7.5, so which is fair. He's probably worth a touchdown.
Respectfully, Nick used 6.5 on the card. So if you're looking to throw a parlay, you know, and looking
still
for
take Houston
some number edges.
And that's what I think we're going to do now.
You know who the backup quarterback was? It was Holgerson's son.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I think Holgerson's son's getting the start. So
wow,
I'm pretty sure he knows the offense.
And when the whole world reacts like this, I agree. I think it's time to jump
over
in
a
Houston.
Touchdown. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Who's North Texas?
That's
besides Mean Joe Green and Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I was just going to say, besides Stone Cold going there, that's all.
Stone Cold and Mean Joe Green.
All right. Anyways, interesting news right there. You know, and like you said, John, I absolutely agree with what you just said, is that they 100% did not expect this to be the rule.
No.
They tried to do something nice.
It's much like the reviews of the pass interference in the NFL. This is not.
They still can't get it right.
This is still not what they had in mind. Let the egregious ones go look at those, not the ticky-tack ones, and then reverse those like the Seahawks did against Steelers.
Absolutely crazy. Air Force went down and scored, so 7-7 tied, still 4:57 left there. Lot. I mean, I still don't like laying 20 points, in a game and dropping to
with a team that throws twice a game.
Yeah, so exactly. So, all right, let's. Any other college football, real quick, Josh, that you want to throw out there now?
There's a couple. Well, sure.
Go for it.
I mean, one. Early game tomorrow where I sort of like a slight underdog. This is a MAC game, but I got a little bit of a read on this game. So I think it's Miami of Ohio at home against Buffalo. Miami is +3. And I like that a little bit because, Buffalo's coming off. Yeah, they upset Temple, which is crazy. Buffalo lost, their quarterback to the pros, and they're having to rebuild in year after pretty much dominating the MAC the last couple years. And so they've been surprisingly good this year with the true freshman quarterback. But I like about Miami is their coach, they sort of have this belief. They take a beating. Like, they've already played Iowa, Ohio State. They go out there in non-conference and just play the Power 5 teams, but it ends up preparing them for conference action. I think when you've been playing Ohio States and Iowas of the world, Buffalo doesn't seem so tough. I think Miami of Ohio gets it done.
Yeah, when you start getting into MAC play, and it's always a fun conference to bet, and, I don't follow it as close as some might. But, yeah, I'd be Miami or nothing for me with the way Buffalo's responding.
And speaking of Miami of Ohio, John, I had a trivia question for you because I heard this stick the other day, or maybe it was watching him against Ohio State, but it turns out Ben Roethlisberger is not the career yardage leader there.
Oh, is that right?
Do you know who is?
Who is it?
It's Zach Dicer.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure he stayed all 4 years. Ben only played three.
Yeah.
So that would make some sense. He was recruited by Ohio State as a receiver, Ben Roethlisberger. So that's some more trivia for you.
As we know, Big Ben now elbow injury. It's shelved for the year. So
no Tommy John surgery, though, so that's good.
Yeah, all right. And the only other one, Ken, that I like in addition to Miami of Ohio, home underdog here, and that's Boston College against Wake, only because I've seen this matchup a couple years in a row. And for some reason, the stuff that Boston College runs with their sets and their power runs, it Wake's kind of a finesse team. They're much better this year. Wake is sort of rebuilt last year, and they've got more athletes. But Boston College, for some reason, just finds a way to run it at them, and they're almost a touchdown home dog. I like the Boston College Eagles on this one.
No team in the history of college football on either side has screwed me more than Boston College
is
over the
right?
years. No team. It used to be Clemson as well. They've righted that ship a little bit.
To me as well.
But it's Boston College, and it's always Boston College. You mentioned Les Miles in Kansas. That one cost me a 17 teaser, 7-point teaser with seven teams. Needed that for the victory. Boston College got me again. I will never bet another Boston College game. Quote me on that.
All right. There you have it. Let's move into the NFL, shall we, guys?
Right. Sure thing.
Texans at home versus the Carolina Panthers. Nick used 4.5 on the white card. Numbers been bet down to 4. Totals went up a half a point from 46.5 to 47. You know, Cam Newton obviously out. You know, you have the big debut last week. I mean, I think it's too hard to you can't overreact on this.
I mean,
you can't overreact for this quarterback change. But if you guys remember, about two weeks ago, I said, I think Carolina needs a quarterback that just wants to run that's accurate passing.
Yeah.
I think they have all the other weapons with McCaffrey, DJ Moore. Who's the other wide receiver? Samuels? Is it Samuels, the other wide receiver?
Right.
Yeah,
but Greg Olsen, too.
Greg Olsen, yeah. A little bit more accuracy. Play defense and control the game.
Kyle Allen looked good.
No, I know. What if Cam's out a couple of days and he rolls off? He takes this 1-2 team and rolls off three straight.
His contract's up this year.
Yeah. Well.
So, I mean, this is. Or they can opt out, whatever it is. So this was a big year for him as it was. This line still, you mentioned not overreacting to what we saw last week. This line doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It seems like it's very light for the Texans.
I think so as well. I think it's giving the Panthers too much credit. Sure, they look decent against a bad team, and he had a pretty good game. I mean, Kyle Allen might be somewhat serviceable quarterback. Greg Olsen had a huge game, so it was clear the sort of safe intermediate routes is what he was looking for because Olsen – he's always good no matter who's throwing it, but it's clear that he's going to have a safety blanket for Kyle Allen. Having said that, we take the Texans. A couple weeks ago they were laying 9.5, 10 against the Jags, and it's down to 4.
Yeah.
I think that is scalping some value on the home chalk there.
So you guys are both tending to lean a little bit to the home team
right
here.
So.
And you get a rookie quarterback going into Texas. I know Texas – Houston can play defense. They're ranked 21st right now. They're giving up 385 a game in yardage, and they're right in the middle of the pack 17 as far as offense is concerned. It's a tough place. I've been to that stadium. It's a tough place to go play. And J.J. Watt's going to be getting in that guy's face. He's going to let him know that he's there. And if they fall behind, it's going to be a tough road. I absolutely agree with you guys. I mean, this is there's some value in getting this 4. There's a lot of value getting this. So it could very easily be a Houston and over game.
Sure.
Ravens, Browns, Ravens at home. Number opened at 6.5, but up to 7. Total was at 45.5. It's down to 45 right now. The Browns underachieving the Super Bowl champion Browns, John.
Yeah, what's going on? I mean, it's
– I'm
shocked.
There might be some value here. Well, it's funny, too, because they got this pretty brutal schedule stretch coming up. I was a little disappointed. I took a little shot on them last Sunday night because I actually thought the whole world was on the Rams, which they were. Like, I'll fade this, open 3. I got 4.5 before kickoff. I was looking pretty good. Just that Rams. I mean, it was really that late field goal that made the difference. The Browns had a chance to tie it up. We know it came up short. So now they've lost a couple and only beat up on the Jets there. And, with all the expectations and whatnot, I would like playing Cleveland as a chalk, but I like a touchdown here.
Yeah, it's – If there was a chance that it can get back over that touchdown, I'd be really all over it. It's a tough spot to go into Baltimore always and try to compete and try to get a victory.
Is it let down for the Ravens a little bit after they really tried to win that
game
against the
almost
Chiefs?
Had it, yeah.
Did, yeah.
I don't think it is, just because of the style of play that they have, that it's still running the ball, it's still playing defense. That never changes in Baltimore. And, it's Lamar Jackson's so exciting. Baker Mayfield, the best thing he's done is he had two great disses, one on Rex Ryan and one on Antonio Brown this week. So other than that, I haven't seen much out of Baker Mayfield, but if he keeps doing that, I'm all for him.
And don't forget that he was all over the Giants quarterback.
Exactly. So maybe he does a little less of that and a little more prep.
Yeah, so,
but I don't know. It's a tough spot to go into Baltimore at all times. 6.5 is a lot of points, though.
Well.
This will be a teaser play for me with the Ravens, but I don't see the Browns actually winning this game.
Cleveland's ranked number 10th in the NFL after 3 games in total defense, giving up 315 yards a game, 102 on the ground. Do you guys by chance know how many yards a game that the Ravens are averaging? Do you know on the ground?
No.
216.
Wow.
I knew it was over 2.
I almost said 200. That's funny. Wow.
It wouldn't have been enough, John. It
wouldn't have been enough.
216.
And Mark Ingram was huge last week.
216 yards a game through 3 games.
Lamar Jackson said he doesn't like running the ball.
I read
he's
that.
The best in the world.
511 yards a game they're averaging. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing, you know, with where they are. You know, Lamar Jackson's QBR, 116.27. Absolutely crazy what Baltimore's. Yeah, but when does the shoe fall off? You know, they're coming off a huge emotional win, John, last week. You know, or excuse me, a huge emotional loss, but a huge game with
huge
Kansas
game.
City. But now,
but when you in this division, when you go back and you play a division foe, especially your literal only challenger, quote unquote challenger in the division, this is time for the Ravens to send a message as well.
Oh, I agree.
And I don't see the Browns. I can see the Browns covering. I cannot see the Browns going in there and actually competing to win the game.
It's how big it is,
that
John.
Makes any
Pittsburgh
sense.
Hasn't won a game this year. Cincinnati hasn't won a game this year. Cleveland's 1-2.
Oh, they're going to tie on Monday.
If Baltimore beats Cleveland, they're going to have a 2-game lead after 4 games.
Yeah.
I mean, that's huge.
And that's not lost on them. I'll tell you that right now. No. John Harbaugh's too good.
No, I agree with all that. So, with that being said, you know, it's going to be a pass. I'm probably going to look at it a little bit closer. Giants at home versus the Redskins opened at 2.5. The Daniel Mania, you know, all over. It's already up to 3.5 with a total of 49. I like this game to go over. I just think that, you know, Cousins has played pretty well. He didn't play really good against the Bears last week.
It was awful.
But he's, you know, I look at this team.
Kirk Cousins is going to be in this game?
Well, what's his QBR? I'm trying to figure it out. 97.97.
You mean Case Keenum, right?
Excuse me. Yeah, I said the wrong thing. With that being said.
Case Cousins.
Yeah, I just think it's going to be the Giants. It's all because of the Giants' defense. When I say, yeah, I did. Sorry, guys.
It's all good.
So, the Giants, they're giving up 460 yards a game.
Yeah.
The Redskins are going to be in this game, guys. 3.5, 4.5. Give me the Redskins all day long to be able to keep up in this track meet.
Yeah.
I think it's going over. It's going to be a shootout.
It's going over. Two horrible teams that can't play defense.
But the Redskins are getting theirs. They are getting theirs.
I think so, too, Ken, only because, like you mentioned, just the reaction play on this is just beautiful on both sides. Right? Oh, the Giants got everyone's attention, and he did have a great game but against a bad team, but good for him, Daniel Jones. But now you figure the bandwagon jumpers are going to be there on the Giants, and what better opponent than the one that everyone's down on? And they just got shellacked on Monday night against the Bears, so everyone in the world's going to jump. So, you know, the Redskins are still a bad team, but if you believe in just that principle of public fade, this is a good one.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's pretty publicly known that this is Jay Gruden's job's kind of on the line right here.
Yeah, he's got to be the first to go, you know, this year, I would think, right? I mean, we always have odds on the first NFL coach fired midseason.
Who's the Raiders' offensive coordinator right now?
The Raiders?
Yeah. Because it's going to be Jay Gruden.
Yeah.
You forecasting?
Yes.
The Vegas Raiders and
the
Gruden?
Vegas Raiders.
Gruden and Gruden?
Gruden and Gruden.
All right. All right, let's head off to our next commercial break. We'll continue handicapping NFL football after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM. Sorry, we had to rush off to a break right there. Do you guys have any parting shots on this Giants Redskins game, Josh?
I think we got the right idea. Like I said, I'm not the type. I don't want to put a whole lot of faith in the Redskins, but it does seem like the perfect setup for what's bound to be a ton of Giants bandwagoning support.
Just over for me.
All right, Chargers, Dolphins. Chargers laying 15. A NICU's 15.5 on the white card. It looks like it's 15 right now. Jackson, the running back. Everybody knows Melvin Gordon reported. Looks like Jackson's out too. So Eckler's going to be toting the ball for one more game. I think that they're saying that it's possible that Melvin Gordon comes back and maybe gets a few reps just to kind of get back into shape a little bit. They're looking for him to move into the starting role. That's what they said full time next week. But yeah, this is a tough spot right here. You know, LA Chargers going on the road to play
nice
Miami.
Catch.
I mean, isn't it ironic that Miami might be 0-16 twice?
It's pretty awesome when you think about it. That they're, you know, the 17-0 stuff we can't ever quit listening to with them popping champagne and everything. But if you get two 0-16 campaigns, then I think that cancels out the 17-0.
Yeah. Isn't that
I'm
crazy,
gonna be honest.
Yeah, it pretty much does. And, you know, what's funny, like I said, they've taken the fire sale idea or tanking in principle in the NFL to new, say, heights, but new lows. And I think, we can say barring some sort of miracle, I think 0-16 is practically a done deal. What other NFL team do they stand a chance? I mean, I haven't looked at their schedule, but who could they possibly defeat?
They got the Jets twice,
At least the Lions did an honorable 0-16 a few years. Even the Browns were honorable 0-16, meaning they were right there.
Yeah.
The Browns took some bad beats. They could have won two or three games. The Lions, you know, they were pretty respectable, but this team may not even lose by single digits all year.
I think they get one win.
You do?
I do. I don't know who.
We check out.
I don't know
they
what.
Play the Steelers.
I mean, if they play the Steelers, Jets? That's easy. Patriots? No, I don't know. Let me look at the schedule before I say something stupid. Before I make a bet.
And I'd love to win a point spread bet on them, but not this week. I'm not jumping in with Miami till they're getting like 30 at somebody. That's not even enough points.
This game's 100% pass for me. If anything, I might try and take the Dolphins.
They're
at
winning
home.
Next week, by the way.
Who they got?
Redskins at home.
Oh boy,
might be their best shot. But
what if they're 2-2 after next week?
Oh, they do play the Steelers. In October, they go to Pittsburgh. There you go.
Oh, man. It's a pass for me. Sorry, listeners. No interest. Colts, Raiders.
Giants up in the Giants, too. And the Bengals. Oh, they're winning a game.
Raiders going on the road to play Indianapolis. Open at 6.5, up to 7. I said, so. When I was handicapping this game a little bit, the Colts defense has not allowed a 100-yard rusher in 21 straight games.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. And I think this Indy team is a little bit underrated, too. They're 2-1 in the AFC South. You know, everybody kind of just assumed that once Luck went out that it was, you know, it was the end of the season. But Brissett's looked good.
Yeah, and we had our chances. We faded him in our contest with Atlanta last week, and it was unfortunate. We actually made a big comeback as we fell behind early. But the Colts went ahead and prevailed. And the thing with the Raiders, I'm going to like them in spots similar to the Monday night one on opening night. I think when they got a similarly sort of mediocre opponent at home and they're like a short underdog, they're going to do all right. But when they're only getting like, again, 7-9 at good teams, last week with the Vikings was a clear fade spot. I'm not backing the Raiders here either. I would only have the Colts also.
Yeah, and, you know, the Raiders, after the first quarter of the Chiefs game, you know, they looked okay going into that quarter, and since then they just look like an absolute train wreck. So yeah, I can't take money out and bet the Raiders at any point unless, you know, this gets up, this spread in particular won't get up that far. But if they start getting two touchdowns and stuff, then you start looking at them again, but not yet.
What did the Raiders win last year? Four games? Were they four? Was it four?
Correct.
Yeah,
4-12.
Like,
what has changed?
Well, they've got some. That's a good question, Ken. But the bottom line is they have, you know, they were the ones who were, you know, ditching Amari Cooper and Khalil Mack last year to do their overhaul thing. And for what it's worth, the roster overhaul, they've done all right. I mean, again, the running back Jacobs in the first round, the tight end Waller, who they picked up out of nowhere, the guy, you know, from all his addiction problems. I mean, he's probably an all-pro level tight end. Oh, they signed a bunch. Ken, the one thing Mike Mayock did was he came in, they said Derek Carr's protection has got to be the number one priority. They signed like three offensive linemen to like record money deals, including the center. And the protection so far has been a lot better. So I'd say personnel-wise, I think on the defensive side, they still got some strides, but they drafted well, and they got quite a few guys in free agency.
And they lost their highly touted safety, their first-round safety. I always forget his name.
The kid from Mississippi State.
Yeah. The guy, you know, he was hearing the way John Gruden talked about him. He was, you know, he's going to be a cornerstone of that defense. So I don't know, but you're right. I don't know what has changed where they look this atrocious now. I thought they were on the uptick.
San Jose State looks like they're going to compete for the Mountain West Conference title.
She's great.
All right. Kansas City traveling on the road, playing the Lions. 6.5 is what Nick news on the car. 54.5 is the total. I heard some grumblings today that Stafford has been questionable. Apparently he's pretty banged up. I don't know. He's probably still going to play, game time decision. But, I was looking. This is only the Mahomes and domes. His whole NFL career,
do that on purpose,
has been played outside. He played one game in Atlanta in a preseason game a while back where he was in a dome. So it's going to be very interesting to see how he goes on the road and plays in a full regular season game in a dome.
Yeah. Ken, and
did you hear that, Josh?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'll be curious also, but on the surface, the Lions, as we know, they bit us last week against the Eagles. I guess those more or less the receiver injuries on Philadelphia killed us. But they won outright. After the first game where they ended up collapsing and tying the Cardinals, maybe the Lions won't be with. But they've since beaten the Chargers and the Eagles. It's like, well, you can't. So for a team that's at this point, you know, undefeated, they can't turn down the touchdown at home, as far as I'm concerned.
I get what you're saying, but I can turn that down. I just think the Chiefs are on a different plane.
I just think you keep playing the points with the Chiefs, so it's going to catch up at some point.
And, you know, it did last week.
Right.
Barely, but it did. And it's – I know what you're saying about the Lions. I like those points. I feel comfortable betting the Chiefs. I don't know if the dome's a factor more than it's just going to be a faster track for them. So
you would think –
You know, you don't have to worry about the elements. You can just go out and let it all hang out. I don't know. I know Brett Favre struggled in domes, and I don't know if that was a thing. I don't know if that, you know.
And you know what's odd, John, because we know, you know, kickers do well there. There's no weather. I would think if you play a skill position like quarterback or receiver or whatever, I would just think you would explode on turf because you never have to worry about the weather. It's fast. I don't understand why anyone would ever do the reverse and struggle indoors.
That's what I think, too.
It throws off timing a little bit. I mean, if you practice on grass and play on grass, you're used to the speed of grass with your receivers. If the turf is a little, if you're faster on turf, on an overall period, it might throw your timing off a little bit.
Okay,
I'm
just curious.
I can tell you that makes sense, but that's...
I can tell you right now. I mean, just for instance, I mean, just John, let's take baseball. When you play, what's the difference between ground balls on natural surface versus AstroTurf? They're hot.
They skip.
Yeah, that's my point. And my point is, it is faster. There could be a timing issue. That's all I'm saying.
Sure.
Whether it's going to happen or not, I don't know. I mean, and does Detroit have, and Kansas City's defense? It's not very good, guys.
It's not good.
They give up 395 yards a game. That's all.
So, all right. Well, bet the Lions in.
No, I'm going to pass.
Do you guys like the total over at all? I mean, it's a huge total, obviously, understandably. But
yeah.
If Matt plays,
I'm looking under.
If Stafford plays, I think I certainly think that if he plays, they're going to get they're going to get in the 20s. And if you're laying 7, getting in the 20s, it's almost got to go over. That's my
saying. If Stafford doesn't play, who's in there for the Lions? I don't know the answer. Does anyone know?
Joey Harrington.
Oh, all right. Excellent. Still hanging around.
Still hanging around.
Are you serious?
No, of course not.
He's been retired for like 10 years.
Eric Hippel.
Yeah. Well, okay. Or Rodney Pete.
Yeah, exactly.
Rodney Pete's going in there.
All right. Patriots traveling to Buffalo.
Patriots.
Actually opened at 7.5. It's down to 7, so a little bit of money coming in on the Bills. Total
Patriots.
Total is 42. You know, the Patriots are the only team in the Super Bowl era that have not given up a touchdown rushing or passing in the first three games.
That's the whole thing.
And that's crazy.
That was crazy. Yeah, the Jets scored twice, one on special teams and once on defense to cover. I mean, they did not do anything on offense.
Yeah, that's the whole thing for me. It's, you know, of course you have Tom Brady and Julian Edelman and Josh Gordon and everybody else. It's the defense.
It's crazy.
They're amazing. And that's the way.
Just a couple short seasons ago, that was a huge liability.
Huge liability.
The Patriots were worse than the league.
And, you know, I don't profess to know Bill Belichick, but I'm pretty sure this is the way he would want his team to be built. These guys are not just hanging on. The Patriots are improving every year. How does it happen?
I agree. John, I think Buffalo is a bad matchup, too. Not only does New England historically dominate this matchup, but of course, nice improvement by the Bills that they got a lot of things working in their favor. But offensively, you got to be able to hang. They've been winning it on defense. They've been hanging in there. Their offense isn't doing much. And they don't have the firepower. I think they lose by double figures.
Tom Brady, that defense, one touchdown, Buffalo Bills.
You know,
it's time to do the arithmetic.
It's crazy. The Patriots, number one defense in the NFL, 199 yards a game. They're giving up 36 yards rushing. That's what they're giving up.
Jeez.
36 yards. Josh, I mean.
I think a lot of that is also, you know, they jump so far ahead that people abandon the running game. But,
okay, well,
but the point remains.
Okay, then they're giving up 162 yards passing.
Yeah, exactly. So unbelievable.
It's not like the passing yardage is inflated,
John. Exactly. It's not. It's just, I don't know how this team can possibly keep improving, but they do.
Yeah.
I'm tired of it.
I'm tired of it, too. And they get Antonio Brown. No, we don't need him.
We don't need Antonio Brown.
Gronk, you retiring, too? Okay, you're gone.
Well,
a lot of people say
he's coming back. I mean, what are we talking about?
Week 10, that's what they're saying, week 10. So, all right. I'm with you guys. I would only hit you.
After all, Gronkowski cured his own CTE. He's good to go.
Yeah, he's good.
He's got to get back in the game.
Well, he had to cure it. He had to cure it.
Before he could play again.
But he couldn't do it because of the NFL rules. So he's just got to get clean.
Exactly.
Got a system flush.
Allegedly.
Week 10. He'll be
allegedly.
Back. All right. 54, 55, two more minutes. Falcons at home versus the Titans. A full-point move on this game. The Falcons at home opened up at -4.5. It's down to 3.5 with a total of 45. You know, you look at Atlanta and Julio Jones, talent on this offense. And I don't understand Atlanta. 1-2, they've really never recovered from the Super Bowl.
No, they have not. They have not. And it's just, they're one of those teams that they'll look fantastic. And then you start believing and start believing, and all of a sudden it blows up right in your face, Josh.
Although, John, I will say they've looked fantastic less and less in the last
That's
couple
true.
Years. They're spiraling toward mediocrity. And you're right, though. It used to be a crazy game. Matt Ryan, 450 yards. You think, wow, this is the best team I've ever seen. The next week they're losing 32-7. And yeah, we were so disappointed. Believe me, Ken and I took a huge hit. We thought the Falcons were in a nice spot last week and some points at the Colts, and they choked. And they had a ton of opportunities. Like every road game, they had all those opportunities. But, yeah, if you were ever going to play them, this is the time. Obviously, they play better at home. I don't think the Titans are worth anything.
No.
And they were real horrible in their last game against the Jags. So if you were going to possibly win a bet with Atlanta, this is the time. But I still don't want them.
No confidence with Mariota on the road?
Not for me. How about you?
I don't know.
Julio Jones is the only person in this game I've
Tannehill in there.
To.
Yeah,
exactly.
Devontae
Freeman's pretty good.
If you shut down Derrick Henry, I mean, really, you got to like the spot with Atlanta.
But can they?
Why can't they? I mean,
I don't know.
You know, you just look at Atlanta.
I know nothing.
Defensively, they're playing well, guys. 7th-rate defense in the NFL, 311 yards on the ground. In total offense, only 100 yards on the ground. I mean, God, I just look at Tennessee and I just go, how is – they're ranked 28th in the NFL in total offense. I mean, this to me is it's got to be a get well game for Atlanta. It's a short number. I disagree with the move. I disagree with the full point move going from 4.5 to 3.5. So, all right. I don't know.
Yeah, 3.5, much better value, of course. So.
I'm not
absolutely
touching it.
So tough game. Still a lot of NFL left to. Make sure you download the Wim Hill mobile app at www.wimhill.us. Full service mobile app right at your fingertips and on all of your smart devices. We'll be back after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM. We're back. Close Count Eva, ESPN 94.5 FM, talking all kinds of sports. We got San Jose State went for it again on fourth down, like they're just entitled to it. They should keep getting it. No, he didn't get it. They didn't get it last time either. They should have at least 6 points. They just kicked the field goals. But with that being said, let's keep moving on. Oh, UFC's this week too. Jesse James posted some stuff on our Facebook page. So if you're looking for some UFC edge, you can get it on our Facebook at cool. Kenny B, ESPN
Sports
Handicapping.
Yeah, just a UFC fight night from Copenhagen with pretty much a hometown guy. Honestly, Ken, there's not a lot that I find appealing on this card, but could be a decent main event. I will say this, the guy who's sort of the hometown guy, Jack Hermanson, in the main event against Jared Cannon here, even though he's a pretty big favorite, probably not big enough. I think the main event's lopsided. Should be a pretty easy win for the chalk.
All right. Let's head out. Let's keep talking football. Hopefully, we'll have enough time to get to that UFC at the end. The Rams at home versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The LA Rams open at 9.5, still holding at 9.5. 49.5 is the number that Nick used on the parlay card. A full half point down to a flat 49.
Yeah, Ken. You know what? I actually like total on this one. That would be the under. I feel like the Rams defense kind of come alive. It's not really being noticed, but they did hold those Browns to 13 points. And granted, Breeze got hurt the week before. They held the Saints to 9. I just feel like the defense there is really starting to come alive, and the Buccaneers are limited. And
third-ranked defense in the NFL, the Rams.
Right. And it's one of those things where, in order to go over, the Bucs would have to, hold up their end of things. I'm not sure they can do it. And the Rams have been good but not great on offense as well. They've been a little slow to get it going. So I just, unless it's just a big blowout, I don't see it going over. Give me the under.
I kind of lean towards the Buccaneers here for some reason.
And I've heard some sentiment for them, but I just would rather pass on that and play that total.
Seems like an awful lot of points there. You know, the offense started to click a little bit for the Buccaneers. I know the Rams playing very well on defense, but I don't know. There's just something – I can't really explain it, but I kind of like the Buccaneers here.
You know, I look for the Rams to get the Super Bowl hangover out of their mouths and really play – up to their talent level, which I don't think they've done this year. I mean,
they're undefeated, right?
Is Todd Gurley shot?
But they're 3-0, Josh, but they haven't been impressive to me. I mean, they haven't been impressive. I mean,
Gurley doesn't look the same still.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, too. I just think – I think they should be beating teams 40-14. Yeah. And I think you look at spots, and you have the Rams coming home right now playing, Tampa Bay, and – Tampa Bay hasn't done much. I mean, I guess Tampa Bay can play a little bit of defense, 14th ranked in the NFL, but you just look for a spot where you're really going to get a huge edge. And this would be Rams or pass for me. In a weird, weird way.
I feel like they've been you're right, they haven't been world beaters, but I thought, last week was a real tough spot. At the Sunday night game, first one in Cleveland in 11 years, and, tough weather. I thought the Rams answered the bell there, and they also played pretty well against the Saints. I feel like they've been – okay so far in terms of
I think maybe what I'm saying, Josh, is it's the quarterback.
Okay.
Goff's, his quarterback rating is 83.
No, you're right. I mean, that's been slow and go.
Maybe that's kind of where I'm at with that. Cooper Kupp.
Right, and that's his guy. Who was
yeah, exactly. I mean, so, with that being said, you know, I just a gut feeling. Seattle goes to Arizona to play the Cardinals, opened at 5.5, down to 5. 48.5 was the total, down to 48. You know, Kyler Murray, and is this the week that he gets his first NFL win? You know, they're 0-2-1. They can't the defense for Seattle, or excuse me, the defense for Arizona is just it's the third worst in the NFL, right behind the Giants in Miami. They're giving up 443 yards. You know, but what are your guys' thoughts on Seattle? I know the number ninth ranked team or offense in the NFL, but I just can't get a pulse on Seattle.
Yeah, it's tough, Ken. I faded them last week, right? Because I thought they were overvalued there, and they had the Saints. I was pleased with how that turned out. And you're right, offensively they're doing better than they have in years past, but the defense is a little shaky. And at this specific spot, yeah, they're a tough team to peg, but more than anything, I think I'm just avoiding the Cardinals altogether because how they seem like a difficult team to get a beat on. I know that's another one, Ken, that we took a beat on in our contest last week, and it seemed like a nice spot for Arizona. Instead, Carolina went in there and beat them pretty soundly. And this one, though, almost laying a touchdown with Seattle, that's a pass.
On the road.
That's the thing. This would almost be an automatic take for me in a scenario where you have division rivals, almost a touchdown. The road team, you know, the Seahawks are a good team, but they're nothing special. So this would be an automatic take for me with the Cardinals, but it is the Cardinals. So this is a pass.
The Cardinals' defense is terrible, absolutely terrible.
Yeah,
you know, Seattle
and Kyler. I don't get caught up in the size and quarterbacks and everything, but he just looks tiny out there.
He does, and you know, talking about his QBR, his quarterback rating. I was actually just looking at it, and it's nothing to. Where are they at right now? Arizona, 26th ranked offense. His QBR is 76.02. I mean, we can't forget, you know, these guys are still rookies. I mean, they're going to have good games, but they're also going to have games where they have really, really bad games. I mean,
and that's the thing.
Mahomes is the only guy that I've ever seen.
If you go, you know, and I do that sometimes, you go, okay, quarterback versus quarterback, it's the biggest mismatch you're going to see at this point is Russell Wilson against Kyler Murray. So, but that's the guy that I would think Kyler Murray would aspire to be. So it's going to be really interesting to see the Cardinals and the Seahawks down the road, but this game has no interest for me.
What do you think about 74-yard touchdown passes, Josh, by Air Force? Or 64-yard touchdown
for
passes?
For a second there, I thought you were going to scored in Virginia Tech. So you can't give me false hope.
Yeah. Duke's winning that game.
Yeah. Bears at home versus the Vikings. Nick used 2.5. It's down to 2. Total's 38.5. You know, the NFC, you know, you look at this game, the NFC North, you know, Chicago 2-1, Minnesota 2-1, Green Bay 3-1, Detroit 2-0-1. You know, the NFC North, it's shaping up to be an absolute dogfight. What's wrong with Trubisky?
Nothing on Thursday.
Exactly.
He's another guy that
Monday.
He's a step behind, guys. I don't get it.
Well, you could be right, Kim, but one.
I mean, his QBR.
Teams come around. They finally, you know, figured some stuff out. Like, again, the place to his strength, the RPOs, the shorter passes. It's what he's comfortable with. I mean, they obviously look pretty good against a bad team, but I thought that was the ultimate get-right game. I like the Bears here. I think the good Bears are back.
I do, too. If they play any sort of semblance of that offense that – I know it's against the Redskins, who are just pitiful on defense. But they really look good. They look like the team that – is going to be a real force, not only in that division, but in the whole NFC. And I like him in this game. I think this is a good spot for him. I think they might have found something there. They're going to have David Montgomery get a little more involved in that offense I've been reading. So I like the Bears going forward, and I like him in this game.
I think what's been wrong with the Bears has been the quarterback play. Trubisky's been off. I mean, he's just missing stuff. You know,
I still think he's a great quarterback.
You do or don't?
I don't.
So you think that there's...
I think he's a good, serviceable quarterback. I just don't, you know...
They just got to continue to tailor it to his strengths.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Made some plays against Denver.
And, you know, it's not fair to say, but this is the draft where they traded up to draft him with Patrick Mahomes sitting there. I know there's completely different offenses and everything like that, but yeah, I don't know. I thought he was... I didn't think he was great at Carolina, even.
I thought he was really good in college.
I mean, it just...
Well, maybe because his arm was so strong that it just... It stood out. I mean,
right, he's just a pro-style guy. And who knows, he could still be all right. I just feel like, you know, And Matt Nagy seems
I don't think
to
he's
be
gonna hurt you.
An offensive, you know, minded type of coach. I just felt like last year they were starting to develop things around him that fit his skill set. That's why they made huge strides in the first couple games. And when he looked so bad in the first one, it seemed like they went back to, you know, asking him to be Dan Marino or whatever, which he's not. But you know, he can do the running and the passing. And he mixed that in there. He's a great athlete.
Yeah.
Duke lining up for a field goal to try to go up by three full scores.
Block it.
21-3. Block it and run it back or just miss it. Oh, no. He
Virginia Tech, I know, would have blocked that in return.
Exactly.
That's just crazy.
The Beamer ball right
That's
there.
Just crazy how bad Virginia. It's crazy how games can just switch.
I know.
Switch.
Flip David Cutcliffe, bro.
All right. Broncos at home versus Jacksonville. 3.5 was the number Nick used. Down to 3. Total was 38.5. Down to 38, Josh.
Yeah, that's one. That's a tough one to get a beat on, but I would say, given what we've seen so far, I'd probably take Jacksonville some points here because they seem to be on the uphill trajectory a little bit. Denver, by and large, still had a real rough start. You know, Jacksonville had that nice performance on Thursday night. I would take the points.
I would, too. That's funny. You were kind of talking yourself into that right there. I'll take the points.
Yeah, I mean, it was tough because I feel like at some point Denver – really does have a nice home field environment. You think maybe they're due for the breakout game, but with everything we've seen so far, it just can't do it.
Think Minshew over Flacco?
It's funny. I mean, I didn't want to believe, but it appears Gardner Minshew's capable of playing at the NFL level.
Yeah, the great picture with Uncle Rico this week, that was funny. I'd buy into it. I think the sooner that they get rid of their best player, which is crazy.
Jalen.
I think the better off they're going to be. Just turn the page, move forward.
How about what he's done? I'm sick. My wife's having a baby. Yeah,
especially if he's going to be that malcontent distraction. You're right. You're better
it's
off.
It's just time to
cutting
go.
Loose right away, getting all you can for him.
Where have you read that he might be going, John?
Actually, I don't know. I
haven't really heard
Chiefs.
Anything.
I've read Chiefs. I've read Ravens. They turned down 2 first-rounders from somebody from an anonymous source.
What else could you want?
That's exactly
3?
It. What are they doing?
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, those are real precious commodities. If you got the unhappy, you know, guy that you want to send on his way, I mean, I would take those draft picks.
Absolutely.
It's like you said. I mean, I think you guys made it. What do you want? Two first rounds and a 6-pack of beer?
Exactly.
I mean, what do you want? I mean, that being said, you know, I look at this game. I like
Niners.
I like Denver in this game, guys. I really do. I think Denver's going to come home and they're going to get this win. You know, you got this rookie quarterback going on the road, you know, playing in Denver. Denver's still playing pretty good on defense. You know,
they don't have one sack or one interception this year. Isn't that
so
crazy?
They do.
but they still have the 9th-ranked defense in the NFL.
Miller.
No, I wasn't saying – I was just saying that as a crazy fact.
It's a crazy fact, yeah. They have the 9th-ranked defense in the NFL at 314 yards a game is what they're giving up. I think it's a tough road to go into Denver and win. And I think that – you know, I like the direction distractions. I like direction where Jacksonville's headed. I just don't think going into Denver is going to be the spot where they can get this done.
I get it.
I mean, look – Jacksonville on offense, where they're ranked on my back page. They're ranked 24th in the NFL. You know, Fournette, he's getting a lot of carries, but I think he's slow. I think he plays slow.
Yeah, exactly. He's banged up
all
the time.
Yeah, he's on my fantasy team. Trust me, he sucks.
Oh, you play fantasy football?
I did this year.
Oh, okay.
Which is a good year with the Steelers being as awful as they are.
Uh-oh. Fumble. Look at this. Look, it looks like Air Force trying to get into San Jose. Maybe
you're fine in that game.
Maybe the San Jose State game is going to get back on track.
And Penn State's up 21-0, so
21-0.
At least split those.
So, real quick, Josh, you like Jacksonville in this game? Enough to take money out of your pocket?
No. Like I said, and for what it's worth, another thing that I always point to when I'm looking at these games, it's interesting. Broncos are -3, but with the price of -120, delay the 3. And that's usually a pretty good indicator. When they charge juice on one side of the spread, that side usually wins 80% of the time. So I think I've changed my mind. But I just thought they've been bad so far that, like, I didn't have a lot of faith in Denver, but this could be their get-right opportunity.
You know, as good as defense as Jacksonville plays, guys, they still give up 110 yards on the ground rushing. So, and I'm looking, and I think that's going to be the way that Denver's going to win this game. They're averaging 111. So I think Denver's going to be able to control the game. And I think the mistakes are going to come on the Jacksonville side of the ball. I think Denver's going to be able to put up enough pressure defensively to make this rookie quarterback make some mistakes. That's what I think.
It's not just any rookie quarterback. It's Gardner Minshew.
With the mustache.
He's the man. Have you listened to that country song about him?
Uh-uh.
It's amazing.
Is it? Who sings it?
Some dude from Mississippi.
Some dude from Washington?
it's about Washington State, but it's called The Mustache from Mississippi.
Country song called The Mustache from Mississippi. I have not.
I'll send it to you right now.
Can you put it on our Facebook page?
I'll put it on our Facebook page.
Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. John's going to put the, what's it called?
Mustache from Mississippi, I believe.
Wow. I can't wait. We're going to have to go to commercial break so John get this posted. So right. We're going to head off to commercial break. We're going to try and post the mustache from Mississippi on our Facebook page at Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. Be back after these messages. Welcome back to the last segment of the Windmill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline. You can get all his stuff at Sportsline. He's got articles everywhere. John the Hawk Stevens just posted on our Facebook page, Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping.
Yes. Would you Mississippi Mustache, the country song about Gardner Minshew. Man, while he was at Washington State. It's pretty awesome.
It is. I can't wait to get on our website and check it out. So you do that at Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping on Facebook. All right. Broncos, Jaguars, we went past that one. Cowboys going on the road. This number surprised me. Cowboys going on the road, laying 2.5, total 47.5. Now it's down to 47. Dallas has had a pretty easy road.
Yes.
You know, I'm impressed with what the Saints did going into Seattle last week.
Yeah. But.
But what?
But there's a special teams touchdown, there's a defensive touchdown.
It all counted.
It all counts. I know that, but it's still – they still got to play offense now.
So where are we at with this game, guys? I mean, I'm a Cowboys fan, so my initial lean right now is if I can get the Saints plus three, I'm looking to play the Saints plus three in this game. I think the money's going to come in by game time. You know, Bridgewater's going to – he's going to be pitching again. You know, I think that it's – Dallas is just – they're a good team. They're a great team, but I think they're overperforming right now. I like the Saints in this spot, guys.
I agree.
I really do.
And can I thought, you know, there's a little overreaction to how Bridgewater played against the Rams. Like, oh, look, he's terrible. Like, well, he wasn't prepared to jump in there and play in that game against a really top defense. I was like, just give him a break. Give him a chance to game plan for when he knows he's starting. And that offense looked really good against Seattle. They did pretty much whatever they wanted all day. Tons of big plays. I think he's okay now. He'll probably be better at home. And I agree, Ken. I think it's a spot where – Dallas, without having faced a stiff competition yet, it's a little overvalued. Got to like the Saints, you know, Saints at home.
I think the Cowboys are really cheap here. I think I understand your points. Cowboys haven't really played much of anybody, but look what they've done to who they have played. They don't make the
That's
schedule.
Fair. I can
they,
see that.
They haven't been really tested. I wouldn't think. I think the Saints are a little overinflated from what happened last week. You know, they had the punt return touchdown, then I believe a fumble return touchdown. Teddy Bridgewater's fine. He's as good as a backup as you're going to find in this league. They're not going to absolutely fall off a cliff, but I just think the Cowboys are on a different level right now, and this is a good spot for them. And you know that there's a little bit of a rivalry between the cities of Dallas and the cities of New Orleans for the Southern supremacy down there. I know there's going to be a lot of Cowboy fans in that building. I like the Cowboys here. I think the Cowboys are on the cheap right here.
You know. Go, looking through the stats, let's look at the defensive stats real quick. You know, Dallas is, you know, their defense is down compared to last year. They're 15th. They top 10 defense last year. I think they finished in the top five last year. They're down to 15. New Orleans, on the other hand, you know, they had a good defense last year too, but they're really bad this year. They're giving up 436 yards a game on defense, 28th ranked in the NFL after three games. They're giving up 134 yards on the ground, 301 through the air. I mean, it's just, you know, I look at this game, but I just – the intangibles, going on the road, being 4-0, I mean, that's what scares the hell out of me.
I'm not in a big position to bet against Sean Payton as a home dog ever. I mean, that's something. How many times have we ever seen that?
Exactly.
It doesn't happen often. I just think that Drew Brees is that important, and I think the Cowboys are really, really that good. I said before the season that I thought they were the most talented team in the NFL, and I believe that they're up there.
2 years ago, Mark, Dak Prescott came out and played.
My name's John.
Or excuse me, 2 years, John.
Wow.
What'd I call you?
I'm not going to repeat
it. Did I say Mark?
Yeah.
It's because I was thinking of Marco, because me and Marco had this exact.
Yeah, okay, my brother Mark.
Yeah, Mark. Me and Mark had this exact same conversation, right. Marco, about we thought that Dak Prescott was the next big thing. Then he kind of came back down to earth. Now I kind of feel like, you know, going back to my conversation with Mark.
He's great.
Now he's back at that level. So what is it? Can he stay consistent? Or
I think he can.
You do?
I think he's turned that corner. I think having Ezekiel back and not having to worry about that whole situation.
Having a wide receiver, Dez gone, and we got.
Amari Toomer's great.
Yeah, Toomer.
I mean, Jason Witten's back, for God's sakes. You got that line that's second to none. I like everything about the Cowboys right now. I really do.
All right. I was talking about Marco, by the way.
I got you.
We had this conversation.
Fair enough.
So, Josh,
Yeah, like I mentioned, I would continue to back the Saints. To me, I see what John's saying, but I just think it's too enticing on the Cowboys. I think they make him cheap on purpose. -2.5, let's jump on that. I feel like Dallas would be a huge public side, and the Saints jump up and surprise you again. But we talk about teasers and whatnot. That's just something I especially like if I bump the Saints up to like a +8.5, +9.
Healthy Drew Brees, what's his line?
Saints he's worth a touchdown. It'd be Saints -4.5.
Yeah, Kenny had posted on our Facebook page the value of quarterbacks against the point spread.
Yes.
And I think Drew Brees was number one, Ken, if I'm not mistaken.
Most of the upper-tier ones points. Are worth a touchdown.
Yeah, exactly,
or more.
So.
Rodgers, Brees, and Brady. It's pretty rare.
I took a lot of flack for that. That wasn't something I did. That's a sharp guy's numbers.
Yeah, that was not.
But it's probably pretty accurate.
I'd say so.
It really is.
Yeah.
I mean,
Roethlisberger was at 6 points, and I think that's fair.
No.
Yeah.
Pretty accurate. What we're talking about right now on our Facebook page, Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. We posted the value of quarterbacks to their team. So if they're hurt, what's the value? And you have to be. Believe me when I say this. This is from these. It's from a handicappers, and it's
we're gonna get one, Ken. Sorry, we're still down 4 touchdowns, but I didn't want to see Virginia Tech get shut out.
All right,
so.
We're back. All right,
thank you.
Let's move off to our next game. Last game, John. I'm gonna lob this up to you. The one of these two teams' season comes crashing down this weekend. The AFC North, the cellar dwellers, both Cincinnati 0-3, Pittsburgh 0-3. One of them's gonna get a win. Pittsburgh's
maybe.
At home, opened at 4.5. John, a 4-point move towards the Cincinnati squad. Total of 44, John. I mean, what are your thoughts? I mean, this is your division, your team. You got a pulse on this.
Well, we don't know what the Steelers are. We have no idea what Mason Rudolph is at this point. He made a couple nice plays against the 49ers last week. He looked pretty good against the Seahawks in relief. You know, they have an extra day to prepare for this here. I don't know. I think this is where you learn about Mason Rudolph going forward. This game in particular, I think it's a field goal game. I think it's a matchup of two really, really poor teams. Steelers play a little better defense, more weapons on offense. Andy Dalton's playing all right, though.
He's been okay.
Yeah. You know, Zach Taylor's got – they had him looking pretty good in three of the four games.
You know what's funny? You know how we had a question, I mean. I think it was a couple of weeks ago, where Ken's like, oh, does anyone know who's coaching the Bengals? And we had to look it up. None of us did. It's like, Zach Taylor, what's the deal? I looked into more today because I researched that game extensively for sports. I had no idea that was the Zach Taylor. What was a college football quarterback?
The like president?
Just, well, he played for Nebraska.
Yeah.
Like just about a decade ago. I didn't know.
Yeah.
He's only like 35 still. I mean, I just didn't know it was that guy. I'm like, how did he get to the NFL? You know, he was just
Sean McVay.
He was just a college coordinator a couple years ago, but it was just like the thing like to do with Belichick people. It's like, oh, yeah, he sort of knows a guy who once shook hands with McVay. Like, yeah, get him in there. I was like, talk about, I would say over your head, but he seemed a little under. I mean, I did a lot of research. He seemed a little underqualified for that job, but apparently he's doing all right so far.
You know, the NFL's a copycat league. You see one guy doing it, and. Let's find our own. Let's find Cliff Kingsbury.
That's what's funny about the whole Belichick thing, though, because that has never worked. I mean, nobody who's the – Matt Patricia, I mean, all of his former assistants who people stood in line to grab up and haven't done anything as head coaches.
Let's hire a guy that couldn't have a winning record in the Big 12 with Patrick Mahomes.
All right, and Baker Mayfield.
And
Davis Webb. All guys are a future
and
NFL.
And Davis Webb, yes.
And I had Mahomes for 3 years and Baker Mayfield for one.
Yeah. But as far as.
Andy let Mayfield go because he wouldn't give him a scholarship.
As far as. Yeah, great, great job. As far as this game, I don't know how you could love either side of this, Bengals or Steelers.
Me either. I agree. And the bottom line is it's a total pass for me. No interest at all.
All right. Baseball, guys. Next week, you know, we got the regular season wraps up this week. And a lot of.
Pete Alonso just hit another home run.
Did he really?
Lord, 52 home runs for this rookie. I love baseball.
That's crazy. That's been an underreported story all year, how big a year that guy has had.
52 home runs. Are you kidding me?
That's a lot of home
runs.
That's
the most Willie Mays ever hit. That's unbelievable. But, yeah, baseball's coming. How about the Brewers since Christian Yelich got hurt?
How have they been able to do it?
It's just baseball. That's all you can say. It's baseball. And I hope they ride this wave. I hope they win the National League. I hope they win it all.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is. I can't wait. It's going to be really interesting. I'll tell you right now, I think this is the Dodgers' year. And I'm not saying this to voodoo the Dodgers and the Dodger fans and everything. The Dodgers got to cash one of these in, right?
You think so?
You would think so. I think this is the year that Clayton Kershaw steps up. Not that this has all been his fault, because it hasn't been. He's just the poster boy for it. I think this is the Dodgers' year. I hate to say it.
Time for us to give out our picks, guys. It's one of the, and we're going to try to get them in before we run out of time. So, Josh, John, are any of you guys ready?
Sure, I'll go. Okay, I've been writing down my picks as we went. So, top three NFL plays, I would give the Browns with the points. We'll go Patriots and Bears.
Cleveland, New England, and Chicago. Wow, that's crazy. That's all right. I like that.
My one college play, as I mentioned, Miami of Ohio. Tomorrow morning, if you want an early one.
All right.
I'm going to go Texans, Bears, Cowboys.
Hold on, John. So you got Texans?
Right. Texans, Bears, and Cowboys.
Chicago, Dallas.
And I like Oklahoma State, -4.5.
All right. Good deal. I'm writing all these down.
By the way, I'm glad I got the good number last week. Remember, we were talking about that Texas-Oklahoma State game? Texas opens 4.5, closes 7, and it falls 6.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I bet it early in the week at 4.5, and I won, but people weren't happy, you know, with Oklahoma State late. Backdooring it.
All right, I'm gonna go Kenny B. I'm writing these down so I can get them on our Facebook page. I'm gonna go with Denver. I really like Denver at home. I think they're gonna be able to run the ball, keep things going. So I really like that a lot. I can see the Bears a little bit and kind of lining up with the Bears right there with Josh. I'm probably gonna pass and go with Atlanta at home. And then the third one is gonna be really tough. Really, really tough. I'm gonna go with the Texans. I'm gonna go with Houston at home to separate with the Titans. That's what I'm gonna go with. We're gonna post these on our Facebook page at Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping. And we also have some UFC stuff up there that Jesse James put up, John, that you said?
Oh yeah, I didn't see it.
Oh, I thought you said that he
did, I just didn't look at it.
All right, good deal.
But I'm sure it was great.
Make sure you download the William Hill mobile app. See you next week on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Thanks for joining us for the William Hill Sports Show. Be sure to tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. for all the action. This is KUUB Sun Valley, ESPN Radio 94.5.